Good morning, good morning. As you're taking your seats, we have been in a really, I could say, a powerful flow of his presence in the last 3 months, I think, really since December. Do you guys remember December? I know it was only a few months ago, but we did kind of a whole theme about miracles, and we heard so many testimonies about miracles, and I believe it propelled us into this year, 2019, where we're just seeing God do amazing things. We jumped in with our first fruits offering, and then that which is always such a huge explosion of faith happens here because people are believing the Lord and you can really feel it in the room. I don't know, just from being here so many years, we can just up the whole level. And then the send took place, I think it was a week following that. You guys know what the send is? Send, I know many of you didn't know that. Send was a gathering in Florida, 60 to 70,000 next generation. I'd say most of them were next generation. And it was really an answer to the call events that Lou Engel had about 8 or 9 call events and then led into the send. And when a send happens, you think, well, that's just a bunch of people in the stadium. No, it isn't, because those people fasted, prayed, interceded for our nation, the nations, and it does affect us. I feel like it lifts the level, the water level, if you could agree with that. Yes. So that was so powerful. And then led right into when we had Firestorm last weekend. And absolutely amazing, a Firestorm. We just, I just believe, you know, all the words that were spoken over this house, prophetic declarations, and so much faith. And I got wrecked at the end of the meetings last Sunday where we got into that song. They changed the order of the song if you were here. Do you remember that? And we went into Tiffany's song, You Delight in Me. How many people didn't? If you haven't gotten the CD, get it. If you want to download, get it all. Download it. It's amazing. So it's really, I believe, it's fulfillment of the prophetic words over this house. It sounds to go to the nations, and it's happening. Amen. Anyhow, we got into that song and I was standing over here just kind of like, okay, directing traffic and we got to get the next person. And I got wrecked. I got caught up in that moment where I was really believing. I just could see almost from God's perspective, like how he delights in each person. And I looked over and saw Kurt Meckes over here worshiping. And I looked over and saw, you know, a younger person and I just got undone, you know? And you know how you're like, okay, I'm all right. And I'm just like, I'm so messed up. Like we pray for this stuff to happen. Then when it happens, we're like, I'm okay. And you try to get self-control. You just let it go, man. I just wept like a little baby for a little while over there. It was really good. Right? That's what we want to see happen, right? Anyhow, it's just so good. But 3 weeks ago, we did present our first fruits offering. We're still receiving them because I know people have been gone and we had some people we prayed with this morning in the first service. But following those few weeks and actually the few days after presenting our first fruits offering, we had a number of testimonies. So as soon as they're starting to roll in, we like to share them right away. Isn't that good? So the first one we had is a young family can't be here this morning and Marcy and I prayed with them and we didn't know till afterwards, but part of the request in the first fruits is they're putting their house up for sale. So they put their house up for sale on a Thursday. By Saturday afternoon, they had a signed contract. Isn't that good? Come on. It's like in the middle of, you know, end of February, like, yay, God, good stuff. But a couple of people standing behind me have some great testimonies. So I want you to welcome John and Sunny Goodyear. Come on. They've been with us for many, many years and all the children, wonderful.
So John and I have been married for 25 years and we have 4 children aged. Cheer for that. Woo-hoo! 4 kids, 21, 18, 16, and 14. Busy, busy, busy. So when we had them and they were little, we weren't thinking about college. And so I worked very, very part-time. I'm a nurse, and so I work like 4 or 8 hours a week just to keep my hands in nursing. And so as the year started to approach that it was time to go to college, we fretted a little bit because we hadn't saved $1 million to send 4 kids to college. Anyone in the same boat? Yeah, it's like next to impossible.
Kind of zero.
We actually saved zero because I barely worked, and we had to feed them and clothe them and all that good stuff. So it was actually 4 years ago, First Fruits, Kim and Kurt Nunemaker prayed for us, and part of our request was for college for our kids, that it would just, God would somehow provide. And we have seen him provide for our first 2 children academic scholarships, grants, where we can actually pay the rest, and it doesn't hurt us. I also got a full-time job that helps, but God had provided. Well, recently, our 16-year-old son is an avid baseball player and has always wanted to play D1, Division I baseball in the South. And we didn't know how that was going to happen. A lot of his friends had already been starting to get offers, even as a 16-year-old. And Luke, the offers just weren't coming quite yet. And it was a couple months ago, a coach sent out his video to some other coaches. And about a month ago, this coach from Gardner-Webb in North Carolina reached out to Luke and said, I really like what I see. Can you come visit? So 3 weeks ago, First Fruits weekend, John and Luke went down to Gardner-Webb. And that Saturday morning, they received a huge offer, like huge. John called some of our baseball friends, like the dads and the coaches, and they said, that's unheard of in baseball. Nobody gets an offer that big. And we were like, oh, new to us. We didn't know. We were like, oh, yay, God.
But I was inspired by John's sermon about asking big.
The big ask.
The big ask. I will enunciate appropriately.
Yes, big, big. So even though it was a big offer, This guy decided to ask for even more.
Just nicely.
Nicely.
So then we got home Sunday, late Sunday.
So, Sunday at church, yeah. I wrote out our First Fruits request, and part of it was more scholarship money. Like, it's still reasonable and awesome, and Luke would be going for almost free, but we wanted more. Well, they got home Sunday afternoon at 4, and by 6 p.m., the coach had called back and offered more money. So, it's huge. It's, like, ridiculous. So God is moving, and my prayer for this house is that kids who are in college, going to college, I look out and I see so many young kids and young families, that your kids will go for free. For free. I'm declaring that over this house, that there will be no college debt from this house, that our kids will be able to enjoy college for free.
I would just say, you know, we've been in the church our whole lives. You know, we're 47 years old, and, you know, I'm glad to say that. Yeah, and but
it's out now.
We've heard hundreds of testimonies, and there's thousands of prayers. And I'm always cognizant that with every testimony, there's hundreds of prayers still in process. And you know, if you look to the right and the left of you, and you just say or believe for your neighbor that they're next, that is the truth. You are loved by God. The path is chosen, and as you press in, you know, what God has, the plans and purposes will not be foiled by either natural consequences or events or spiritual. So you're next.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys pray. Go ahead and pray for the congregation. So good. Thanks.
So Lord, we just pray that there would just be a spirit in the waiting.
Yeah.
That the anxiety would be gone, the worry would be gone, and there would just be an infusion and an explosion of love and grace. And in that waiting, just a heightened relationship with the Lord, a new level of relationship with the Lord, that in the spirit and in their faith, that every person in this body would always know they are loved, 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 regardless of where they're at in the outcome of their prayer and in their journey. The love never leaves.
And God, I just pray for scholarships, for sports, for music, for drama, God, for academics, God, that money would fall out of the sky, that this house would be marked by college debt-free living, Jesus. So I just thank you for the scholarships that are going to start to fall. God, that we're going to hear testimony after testimony of money being infused into this house. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So good. And that's, I want you to welcome Kathy Schaefer, has a great testimony here. Come on.
So my testimony is about healing. God showed up in a way that I was not even expecting. And I was glad when they asked me to share this testimony, because I feel like this isn't just for me. It's for everybody out there who's been in a season where you just wonder, is this ever going to end? And so the second week of January, I started with severe pain in my left ankle and my foot. And I have a part-time job where I shop for and deliver people's groceries, so I'm constantly walking. And after 2 weeks, I was like, said to Randy, something is wrong with my foot. And we just kept praying. I kept having people pray. And I guess it was about 5 weeks into all this, they finally ordered an MRI and found out I had a stress fracture and fasciitis. So I'm like, okay, well, that explains why the pain's been so bad. And I had to stop working. I just couldn't stand to be on my foot. And it was difficult to even walk from, you know, 3 or 4 feet without being in severe pain. And so during Firestorm, you know, every week I was up here at the altar getting prayer. And during Firestorm, just people would just walk up to me because they saw me wearing my little friend, the boot. And, you know, it's a clue that something's wrong with you when you wear one of those. So I got soaked in prayer again. And Friday night, Bishop Garlington spoke. And he put a new line in that one song, you know, "My God's Got This." So I, like, really was meditating on that, just singing that over and over again. And that night I went home, and about just before 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard 3 distinct knocks, like someone knocking at the door. I'm not sure if I was awake or asleep when I heard the knocks, but after I heard the knocks, I was definitely awake. And I'm like laying there, looked over at Randy. He was like sound asleep, so he didn't hear it. And he's the light sleeper, and I'm the heavy sleeper. So I thought, okay, that's really strange. And I waited, and nothing happened. And then I heard my 6-year-old granddaughter, Autumn, her little voice, it was as though she was standing right beside me. She said, "Mammy, Jesus is calling you." And she had such passion in her voice, and it was like she couldn't believe that I didn't recognize that it was Jesus knocking. So I just laid there, and I said, "Lord, I'm listening." And as clear as her voice was, God spoke to me and said, "Your ankle is healed. Even though it may not seem like it, the boot is causing the discomfort." Because I was in, for Thursday and Friday at Firestorm, I was in a lot of pain. A lot of pain. And so I immediately grabbed my glasses and my phone because I wanted to go in the bathroom and write down what I just experienced. I got out of bed without any hesitation, no pain, no hesitation to walking. And so I wrote it down. So the next day, and ever since then, no boot. I'm not wearing my boot.
Awesome.
And yeah. The one thing that Bishop shared was the acronym for fear, and I heard it many years ago, but it just resonated with me, the word fear, false evidence appearing real. And sometimes when we get a healing word or we feel a healing touch to our body, the enemy tries to come and steal it. And I worked this week for the first time in a month without any pain. Yeah. It was just amazing. And so occasionally I get these weird phantom pains. They were like moving around in places that I never had it before. And I just kept saying, "False evidence appearing real. Get out of here."
So good.
Praise God. He is faithful.
Yeah.
Believe God for your miracle.
So good. Thank you, Kathy. Isn't that awesome? Come on, God coming to people in dreams. Isn't this great? Come on, this is happening. And why am I saying that? Because I believe the last word at the Send, well, I wasn't there, but they said, Halu said, "Get everybody go and have prophetic dreams." And I thought, people are having prophetic dreams and warning dreams and healing dreams. Like, pretty amazing, isn't it? Come on, isn't that great? Can we say, "Yay, God"? Come on. God, do it again, do it again, do it again, right? And I just want to encourage you today, just people are being stirred like never before. And I know that we've come in this season where we feel a powerful flow, but God is releasing, I believe he's releasing fresh sounds and even in our worship with a whole new level of anointing, of what would I say, a breaker anointing, a whole new level of authority to shift atmospheres. Would you agree? Come on, even in this house, we've celebrated worship, but it just has gone up a whole different level. And I thought, God, you really are encountering people like never before. He's encountering him, he's challenging, he's encouraging people. I believe he's in all stages in your walk in life. And I believe he's telling us to come up higher, come out of the place where the visible, the seen realm into the unseen realm more and more and more. Because we talk about it, preach about it, sing about it. He's like, live here. Do you know what I mean? How many people else have felt that recently? Man, in my own life stirring me. But I believe he's calling people out of boredom. I believe he's lifting people out of the same old, and he's activating ones that have been stagnant for years. He's drawing people out of passivity and compromise like never before. I've seen people come alive unto the Lord. It's so exciting, guys. So I just want to encourage you in moments like this, and it feels like we've had a big win or a big, like we've gone to a different level. There is this place where people are still thirsty or hungry or weary or tired or feel like they've been passed over or suffered a great loss. If that's you, you're in the right place. I have to tell you that, because God has a word for you and he'll meet you right where you're at. Would you agree? Come on. I love this, man. I'm telling you, if you're thirsty, you're in the right place. But sometimes we question, well, man, if God's doing all these great things, why am I in this place in my life? Okay, so we're going to go through that for a few moments. Can you give me a little time here? Come on. Psalm 63:1 says, he'll be your satisfaction. Jeremiah 31 says, he will satisfy the thirsty ones and refresh them. Isn't that good? Come on, maybe you're sitting there today and you're hungry. Like, I just remember, I was during Firestorm, unknown person came and said, man, you are so hungry and thirsty. I thought, yeah, they got that right. And I thought, God, there's got to be another level of like satisfaction with him. All right. Come on. So if you're hungry, Psalm 107 says he satisfies the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Isn't that good news? Come on. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What happens? They shall be satisfied and filled, right? Come on. Maybe you're weary and wiped out. And I know there's a lot of people that are weary and wiped out in a community this size of us. Maybe you're a parent with small children. You're probably in a place of weariness. Maybe you work two jobs. That's normal to be weary, okay? Or you're self-employed. A lot of people run their own companies and businesses are tired, okay? I remember we had four children and they're not small anymore, but when they were small, I felt like we were in a complete, continual state of exhaustion. Anybody can identify? And the nursing moms and the nursing mothers in the room going, yes, brother, I hear you, all right? But seriously, but maybe you've been treated unfairly. I'm telling you, Matthew 5 says, yours is the kingdom of heaven, all right? Maybe you suffered a huge loss and you're brokenhearted. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit, the one translation says. Isn't that good news? Come on, so if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, if you're weary, if you've been treated unfairly, if you feel like you've suffered a loss, I'm telling you, he is there for you. Do you know that? He will meet you right where you're at, right there where you're sitting today going, okay, why am I saying this? Because all these examples are in the Bible and they're written for us. And we read this stuff and we got to go, okay, God, it's there for a purpose, so I get it. Remember the story of the Israelites? They get out into the desert and they're wandering and God's feeding them supernaturally. You remember that? They become hungry and thirsty and start to complain. They forget that they were once slaves and now they're free. It's like, wait a minute, okay? They get so angry with the leader, like, I wish he could kill you. You're the problem. You messed it all up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, wow, all right? But just a shift in the natural. When most men that I knew, I grew up with three brothers, a father, man, and that's like a lot of, you know, male testosterone in the same, you know, household. And we were thirsty and hungry. It wasn't good, all right? All the wives are going, yes, I know. But usually one or two things happen. They usually get really tired or grouchy, all right? You know, the lack of sustenance, the lack of sleep, and we won't talk about the other big S, all right? Okay? So married people are going like, oh, yeah. Okay. So, come on. Keep going, folks. All right? When Joseph was treated unfairly by his own family. You know, it's written for our purpose. We look at this and stay encouraged. Do you know what I mean? Come on. You ever been treated unfairly in your own family? Like, you have to understand, like, he was the Neo of the day. You know the Matrix? I know I'm dating myself. Matrix, Joseph was like Neo, showed up. He's like Boy Wonder, all right? He goes from dad's fave. He's dad's fave. Some of you guys are dad's fave. He goes from dad's fave to being a slave. That's, like, really bad, isn't it? It's really bad, isn't it? Because then he becomes, what's the guy's name? Potiphar's fave, right? Potiphar's fave. And he's running the whole country, right? Or running all that he's put his hand to there. Then he becomes Potiphar's wife's fave. And it's not really a good thing, right? I remember the story too, bro. All right, come on. Do you get this? But isn't it wild? Like, it's amazing when we look at Joseph's life, what happens to him again and again. It's not just one time. Like, the brothers get rid of him, and then he goes into prison again. It's like, that's bad, isn't it? Do you ever see a pattern in someone's life when something happens more than once? I mean, you know the guys that know Joseph, like, yep, I knew there was an issue once, but twice, he's a loser. Yep, there's an issue. He's got some underlying sin there. Don't you think this stuff happens? Come on. I'm serious. We judge people all the time. Don't you think they're suffering alone? Don't you think Joseph's going like, man, I have messed it up twice, trying to do what's right, God. What am I doing here? You know what I mean? Like, two times goes to the bottom of the barrel. That's brutal, isn't it? Are you with me? Did you ever watch somebody go through that? I was a teenager. I had an older brother. Not this brother. Okay, just want to clarify. The first service, like, no. But there's four boys in our family, and we were in the automobile business. This one brother wrecked cars all the time. Within literally less than a month, he wrecked three cars. And I was an eyewitness that none of them were his fault. But you couldn't tell that to a person called my father. He's like, what are you? He called him everything but a nice son. You know what I mean? And it's like, took his license, took his keys, and anytime we wanted to make a road trip, that was the brother. I didn't let him drive. We're like, no, you're a loser. Like, we judged him, like, and it was none of them were his fault. Isn't that crazy? But how much more we do that in other people's lives? Ah, man, it's not fair, is it? It's like, come on. Don't you think he already feels like a loser? Joseph's like, this is horrible, right? Come on, he messed it all up, all right? Are you there? Do you have a comment there? John's saying something, right? Come on, if you suffered loss, look in the Bible. It's a great loss. It talks. David suffers this massive loss. He has a win, comes back to his town, and it's destroyed. Ziklag, remember, he comes back, and it's burnt to the ground. They took everybody and everything. Not just a few. They took all the women, all the children, all the stuff. And he said he just wept and wept and wept till he could weep no more. Have you ever been in that place where you wept and wept till you could weep no more? Been there a few times in my life. Remember, my mom died. I was just barely 18. I'm like, this is horrible. Half of our family was gloriously saved, glowing for Jesus. And I'm like, where is Jesus in all this? I asked him. I was like, show me. You know what I mean? Where's the one who heals? I'm telling you. So if we get our heads in this thing, we'll stay encouraged. Are you there? Come on. All kinds of circumstances, crazy stuff. So if you're one of those today, I'm telling you, the tendency is to get, when we're hungry, when we're thirsty, or weary, feel mistreated, we can get bitter, we can get angry. Worse yet, we can get isolated from anybody else. We get alone, guys. That's when the enemy can destroy your soul. Don't get alone. I'm telling you. People pull back and from everybody else, and I can do it myself. No, you can't. That's why it's called the body of Christ. Hello? We're supposed to work together here, all right? Come on. So, are you there? Come on. I'm telling you, been there. If you're weary, people are going like, well, if God is so good, why am I weary? Why am I suffering? Why am I being mistreated? Come on. Why am I not seeing his promises fulfilled in my life? Anybody been there? Come on. Now, this is the point I want you to get. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. This is the exact point in people's lives where the enemy comes in. The deceiver, the liar, the father of lies. Come on. He comes in and goes right for the jugular. And he whispers, did God say? He uses the oldest trick he's used since the beginning of mankind. Remember he said that to Adam and Eve? Did God really say that? It's okay. Come on. Are you there? Come on. Did God say the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter? Then why'd you lose your job? Come on. Are you there? Come on. Did he really say he's going to meet all your needs according to his riches? Do you guys understand? The enemy whispers these things. He uses the very word to twist it and lie to our hearts. It's like, no, we're not allowing that. Come on. Did God say the joy of the Lord will be your strength? Come on. Did he really say forgives all your sin? Then why are you still dealing with this bad habit you've had? He pushes us down. Come on. He attacks us when we're weak. He attacks us when we're tired. He attacks us when we've suffered wrongly. And then we're like, this is wrong. Oh, yeah, it is. Jumps right in there. So you go to anger. So you go to bitterness. Are you there? Come on. Did God really say, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added? Yes, he did. Did God say, by his stripes you are healed? I'm telling you, man, I've sat with people and they've got the doctor's report and it sure seems larger than anything else and louder than by his stripes I'm healed. Come on. The Bible says the word of God is a seed, but it grows up and becomes bigger than everything else in our lives. Do you understand that? Come on. It's good. We need to think about this, guys. Are you there? Come on. Elijah is a great story in the Bible. Elijah gets this massive win. He crushes all the enemy. You guys know the story? He kills hundreds and hundreds of the prophets of Baal. Do you remember the story? He just wipes them all out. Then he gets a message sent to him by the wicked witch. What's her name? Jezebel. She sends this little note to him. Just a note, a messenger. By this time tomorrow, I'll do what you did to all my prophets. And what does he do? He goes sick. It's a word that goes right in, penetrates his heart, penetrates his soul. He goes into depression, goes into discouragement, goes into, that's all. Nobody else is fighting the fight. I'm the only one left. It's like, really? Come on. I've been there. Anybody been there? I'm serious. I've been there tons of times. Like, there's nobody else works this hard. Nobody else intercedes like I do. Really? Really? I've got thousands, Elijah. I've got 7,000 ready to go. Seriously. Do you understand that? Come on. These are in the Bible for our purpose. We get these and come alive. Like, yes, we can do this. All right. Come on. Are you guys there? Can I give you a few keys to put in your pocket this morning? A few principles to live by. So if you're hungry or thirsty or feel wiped out or you feel like you've been passed over, I'll just give you a couple of these. All right. Really simple. Give me a few more minutes. Come on. Number one, go to God. You got to go to God. If you're weak, you're tired, you're overrun, you've been mistreated. People are mistreated unfairly all the time. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all who are weary. He says, come to me. Don't go to alcohol. Don't go to some vice. Don't go to some other thing. Come to me. Are you there? Come on. Nobody understands what's going on going through. Well, he does. All right. You can get an audience with one right there. Are you there? Come on. Isaiah 55, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their sorrows. Verse 6, the Lord supports. He relieves the afflicted. Isn't that good news? If you've been afflicted, go to God, okay? Come on, Jesus models this very principle to us in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, right? He's like in the stressed place of his life. What does he do? He goes to the garden and gets before the Father. All his buddies, they fell asleep. They can't handle it. He's like, I don't care. I got to get before the Father. I know the plan. I just want to make sure before I jump off the high dive here, all right? Okay, before liftoff. NASA, this is taking place. I'm really going to do this, God? Is there any other way? Do you have any other option? Okay, that's basically it. Do you know what I mean? But he's sweating great drops of blood, like his sweats. That's how much, like the, you know what I mean? Whatever they call it, breaking in his skin. He's so stressed about it. That's intense, isn't it? I haven't had that kind of intensity. All right, anybody ever had that pressure? Sweating blood? No? I've been there, but not that. I know, we're good. Okay, seriously. They're going to crucify me. Okay, let's rejoice. Really? Shut up. Okay. So number one, we go to God. Secondly, remember God's character and remember his truth. Remember his truth. He is the truth. Isn't that good? Come on, not just in our heads. We've got to get it in our hearts. Not just in our heads. I think Chris or one of the speakers said it here last weekend during Firestorm. We can get all this knowledge. We've got to get the knowledge in our hearts. So we know that we know that we know. Okay? So I'm going to give you about seven things about his character real quickly. Wow, that's a lot, Brian. Yeah, we can do it. Okay? A, he is for you. He is for you. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Do you understand that? We quote it, we sing it, we shout it. Do we believe it and live it? Come on, if God's for us, who can be against us? Don't you think David got this when he stepped out to fight the giant? It's like, man, all the kingdom of God is behind me. This guy doesn't have any, he has no covenant with the living God. I'll crush him right now. We got to have that same attitude when a giant of addiction rises in our lives, or a giant of whatever it is, depression comes up. No, Got to have that. Man, the kingdom of God is for me. God is for me. I'm going to get past this thing. Do you understand that? Secondly, he is Ed B. He's with you. Got it? Come on. He is with you. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that good? Man, look through the scriptures. Daniel got a hold of this when they threw him in the lion's den and sealed the opening. He got it, Lord. Come on. You're with me. Isn't that awesome? That's a deal. Some of you guys get thrown in the lion's den at your workplace or wherever you're at in your school place, and you say, God, I'm okay because you're with me. Do you understand that? Come on, we got to have this so it works in our own lives every day. Years ago, I was on took a bunch of kids, and we had a bunch of teams we took in Eastern Europe for a number of years. It was just an open door into Bulgaria and Hungary and Austria and the Czech Republic. And Marcy and I had a really busy season in our lives. Our kids, we had all four small children. She was coaching a girls' softball, and this is in the middle of summer. And I was helping coach a summer basketball team, and we were just running 100 miles an hour. I think we were a year or two into the sanctuary, and we were just doing conferences, and we were just like, you know, living on very little sleep. So we flew into the Czech Republic, did about 10 days of meetings there, and we had a big team. It was close to, I think it was almost 40 people on the team, full band, and did dramas, and we were just pushing, like morning, noon, and night. And we got to the end of that time, and I was toast. You know, you can get crusty, and then you get your PhD in being crusty. And I was like, okay, we have a day of travel to Bulgaria. And I was like, sleep, you know, whatever you can do. So I remember touching down in Bulgaria, and we got into the airport, and we had so much stuff with us. It's a big trip. And anyhow, we get unloaded. And I had to meet a guy in the airport. I never met our contact in person, but he became highly recommended. And from a guy that we've done most of the places that opened up in Eastern Europe for us at that time. And so it was a reliable resource, but I didn't know the guy. And this is July, and this guy shows up in a leather coat. You know, and he gets this close. You know, and you ever have one of those, you know, close talkers? You're like, hey, whoa, just sack off. And the guy was so intense. He's like, are you Brian Leach? I'm like, yes, I'm Ryan. Yeah. Okay, great. And like a 1 minute talk, and then I'm going to go out to the parking lot. We're going to rent these three big vehicles with some trailers and the whole deal. And everything's mostly done in the black market, so you have to do it by cash. So I've got a lot of money in my pocket. And I talked to the guy. I said, hey, you know, something about trusting. And he turns to me really close and he says, don't trust anyone. And I was like, I was freaked out of my mind. I'm like, I literally took a step away, and he's wearing a leather jacket. I'm like, this is July. I don't even know if I trust you. I don't even know you. You told me that's your name. I didn't look for the ID. I think it looks like your picture, but I don't know. You know, I was like freaked out. To be honest with you, I'm like the leader scared to death. This is not a good situation. We're going to go for another 8 or 10 days. Sorry. But I remember walking out of the airport, and I heard God speak to me and said, do not fear. I'm with you. And I was just like, we're good. Okay, if they put me in a van and shoot me, I'm okay. I'm dying in faith because I'm believing he's with me. Sorry. None of the team knew that. Like John and Tiffany on that trip that year. You don't stuff, you don't tell your leaders. You're like, okay, yeah. But I got that word, like, I'm with you, and it was totally settled it. I came to peace in my heart, like, we're okay. This is all right. God's got us covered. Isn't that good? Come on, you got to know this, okay? C, next one, next one. He is in you. You got to know this truth. He is in you. John 14:23, he said, he'll make his home in you. Jesus talking backs up further and earlier in that chapter. He says, he will abide with you, but he'll be in you. Do you remember that? Jesus talking to his disciples, talking about the Holy Spirit. Then Paul goes on and talks all about Christ being in us. What? The hope of glory. Isn't this good? So you getting these? You're going through A, B, C. Okay, next one. D, he will never leave you. He'll never leave you. Well, if he's for you, he'll never leave you. No, 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 no. You can get in situations you think, I was such a jerk. Of course he's left me by now. No, he said, I'll never leave you. Hebrews chapter 13. Never leave you nor forsake you. This is stuff to live by, guys. Come on. So if you're worn out, like, it's okay. He won't leave you. All right? Next one. E, he has great plans for you. I know, Brian, he has great plans for my life. Man, I'm telling you, he does. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Okay? For a future and a hope, it finishes it. I prayed with a young guy not just a few weeks ago. They downsized in his company, and we just sat together. I said, look, I'm telling you, God has a plan for your life. Let's pray together. We prayed together. He got a better job with more salary. It was so good. It was like, there you go. And God was showing himself strong to this young man. It's awesome, isn't it? Come on, he's got a plan for your life. Do you know that? Next one, he loves you forever. Do you get that? Forever. He's never going to stop loving you. Really? Really? Okay? Isn't that good news? He will love you forever, forever. Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. All right? I've drawn you with my loving kindness. Come on, I'm telling you, it's a word for someone this morning who keeps falling into the old familiar sin. And he's like, nope, don't get stuck in the hospital of condemnation. People get parked in there and they camp there too long. Don't stay in that place of condemnation. All right? Come on, that's not where God's, that's not the Father's heart. He loves you, all right? He wants you to grow and change and keep maturing, but he don't get stuck in that place of condemnation. He loves you forever. Are you guys okay? Are you all right? Staying with me? A couple more. He keeps his promises and he never lies. Keeps his promises and he never lies. Numbers 20:23 talks about God's not a man that he should lie, okay? Did he not speak it? That he'll not do it? He'll do it and he'll make it good. It's so clear in scripture. This is one of the most powerful things that I experienced when I got saved. He is the truth. Isn't that good? He won't lie to you. And I grew up in the automobile business. It felt like everybody lied in the business. It was just, I remember going like, oh, I remember after I got saved, I'm like, this is crazy world. Everybody lies for this much and this much. You're like, this is nuts. But I remember meeting Jesus like, you are the truth. God, there's nothing fake in you. There's nothing false. Okay? Are you there? Come on. He won't lie to you. He will never lie and he'll keep his promises. Got it? Are you there? One more other big one. Last third, big, huge one is, this is not the character part. It's the next one. Delight in him. Okay? If you don't get anything else, get this today. I know I said that earlier, but delight yourself in the Lord. What happens? Psalm 37:4. He will give you what? The desires. It'll come up of your heart, right? Come on. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. I want to encourage you, make this the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning. What do you mean, Brian? I've practiced this for years. When I wake up, as soon as my eyes open, I want to delight myself in the Lord. It's one of the most powerful things you can do in your life. Delight yourself in the Lord. I mean, God spoke this to me again just this year and said, look, every day this 2019, wake up, just delight yourself in the Lord. Now, that means a whole bunch of stuff to a lot of different people. I don't care what you do. You get to a place where you're worshiping the Lord, just enjoying the Lord, thanking the Lord, whatever it is, man, you can just get there with God. It's taking time to be alone with the Lord. I love her. I just get like, God, I just thank you for your kindness. I thank you that you saved me. I thank you that you love me. And I just rehearse some of the verses over and over and say, God, you're so good. Thank you for my wonderful wife that is so good. It's so kind to me. It's so merciful and puts up with me. God, just whatever. And you just begin to thank him and just appreciate him. God, thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you that this word will never change. God, thank you for all that you're doing. And you just delight yourself in the Lord. It changes your perspective. It's the best way to start a day. You start here, and whatever you go forward in your day, you're coming from a whole different look on life. Does that make sense? Whole different perspective. It's like, God, I'm okay, because you're with me, and you've spent this time delighting yourself in the Lord. It's the most awesome thing you can do. You there? Come on. So we got it. A couple big things. Are you guys there? Did you get them all now? First one we do, we go to God. What's the second one? Remember? His character and his truth. What's the last one? Delight yourself in him. Do those things. I'm telling you guys, if you're in a place of weariness and tiredness and all those things I listed, I'm telling you, these are keys so you won't go off the rails. You won't get off the highway of holiness. You'll stay on this track with God your whole life. It's so awesome. Okay? Two areas I want to pray for. I want to pray for those specifically. I felt like the Lord said, pray for those that are like 62 and older. I'm going to pray for you specifically. If you could be on this side of the sanctuary, I want to pray for all the parents that have young children. Small children I want to pray for on this side. Let's all stand up. Come on. And the band is coming back someday. 12:30, that's what I was shooting for. All right, good. You guys okay? Come on. So if that's you, come on, just come out. I need a bunch of the ministry team and all the deputized ministry team to come on up. Hurry up, get up here before the... All those who are 62 and older on this side, I just want to take some time and pray for you guys, okay? I felt like God says he's leading those in this age group. Hold on. In this church, he's leading you to a place of refreshing, newness of life. Come on. Oh, that's a lot. So we need a whole bunch of ministry team. Some of the youth, all the youth team that's a ministry team, we need to jump in, man. And those that are young parents, young families with young, small children, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, just hold on, ministry team. Just hold on. I just want to say a few things to you guys. And just first for you guys, I just want to say God honors. Hold on, Life Center. God honors you. And I just feel like we're here in this place, in this time, and in this season of Life Center because of many of your prayers. And I know many of you personally have been here for many, many years. Rich and Linda Sam, you've prayed for my kids and so many kids that just they love Jesus. It's awesome. Mechasis, man, I just get undone. I just could name all of you guys. Oh, man, Jim and Abby, we honor you. I'm telling you, we're here because of the prayers you guys have prayed. I'm telling you. We're seeing sounds of life released in this house, prophetic revelation, fresh bread in this house, because you guys have prayed the price. And I want to say thank you. Can we say thank you, Life Center? Come on. Guys, thank you very much. So we just, my heart and I believe, just praying that I just want to say it. We need the revelation you're getting. We need the wisdom that you possess. And I just want to open the door for you guys to speak to the next generation. Wherever you have opportunity in here, speak to the leadership, stuff that God's showing you and gives you. Man, don't hold back. We need you. We do need you, okay? I'm speaking for all of our team here. I'm telling you from my heart, all right? Amen? So we just bless you guys. And all the young families, I'm telling you, I just pray that you have a season refreshing, times of refreshing come from his presence. I kept hearing that. So ministry team, go ahead. Lord, we just thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray just release fresh life on every person that's up here this morning, God. Life. Come on. Fresh life, fresh revelation. Let them indulge in fresh bread in this place right now, God. Holy Spirit, thank you. And if you're 62 and older and part of the ministry team, when you're done getting prayer, you can join the prayer team. Thank you. We need your help. All right. So Holy Spirit, thank you. Just flood this place. Come on. God, overwhelm every heart, every life. God, the young families, young moms and dads. God, I pray that you meet them in the 2, 3, 4 in the morning feeding times, changing diapers and doing the mundane tasks. God, doing the laundry, God. Would you meet families in the laundry room, God? Overwhelm them with your presence, I pray. Bless the families of Life Center in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're standing out there, we pray the Lord bless you and keep you. And we just pray you go shine like the sun. Amen. All week long. You're officially dismissed. Amen.